It's a Kiki with John and McG. Gonna spill all the tea. All my LGBTs, you're in luck, 'cause Johnny McGovern is gay as fuck.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gay as Fuck. I am Mr. John T. McGoverness, he who is. This is the show where pop culture and dirty gay stuff meet, and isn't that delicious? Someone get a boat! It's raining! Never leave the house! Close the doors! Cancel everything! It's raining! Baby, I'm in Los Angeles and the weather is stormy and literally everyone in town is shutting it down. My personal trainer said, we got to cancel this whole week. There's no way we can meet. I was like, my God, have these people never seen rain before? And in fact, I've actually loved it. I have just been snuggling up under the covers and playing a little bit of this song. Because I love it. Oh, we never get this much rain here. The plants are going to be living. The birds and the animals are going to be, well, they're going to be very wet. But it's fabulous. Honey, the LA River, which is notoriously just a tiny little stream of water down an empty, dry riverbed, was full to the brim. It's a perfect time to get cozy and sip some of this tea. We got a lot to talk about. The Grammys were this week. The stars came out. They had to go get Mariah Carey off the freeway on a golf cart in the middle of the rain to get her to the ceremony on time. Plenty of tea there. But more importantly, baby, the new Wendy Williams documentary is coming out and we've got to talk about it. So let's get into it.
Get into it.
First, okay, so if you have not seen this trailer, this is for Where is Wendy Williams, which is exactly what I've been asking for months now. And hopefully this will give us an answer. Now, apparently they filmed this documentary. It's a two-part documentary on Lifetime, executive produced by Wendy Williams. So, you know, she's not being taken advantage of, we hope. And they filmed it over 2 years. Now, if you remember, during the weird era where Wendy was like, podcast, I thought, why not do podcast? She was also supposedly filming a reality show. And of course, everybody that saw her sort of tottering in the street and, you know, looking not well and with the eyes going and the leg and the hoochie outfits. And everyone said, oh, this is a terrible idea. But that was when I think we thought they were trying to make it a cutie pie, everything is fine reality show with Wendy. And this is definitely the opposite of that. Now, we've heard a lot about what's been going on behind the scenes with Wendy Williams. Now, we know she has lymphedema, so it's where her feet swell up, so it makes it very difficult for her to walk. She has that thyroid problem, which makes her eyes be all bulgy, and I've said it so many times before, but one of the reasons why she looks so crazy when we see her in the street in these hoochie mama shorts and tied up tops and little Gucci outfits with her big lymphedema boot and her bulgy eyes, you know, it makes her look like she's unwell, which, you know, she is in many ways. But that's just something she's had for years. I mean, before she had the daytime talk show, she, you know, often, even on one of her own specials one time, called out celebrities for being like, what's wrong with your eyes? You know, she's had this condition that makes her eyes bulge for a long time. And when she got onto the Wendy Williams show, they figured out, as they you do in entertainment, how to solve that problem by giving her a very low-hanging lash, which sort of made it look, for the better, for worse, you know, we don't want to call someone with an issue not normal, but made her look normal. And along with that, if you remember from, if you go back, now along with that, there is been a lot of talk about her struggles with alcohol. Drugs? We do not know. Remember back in the day, she was in a halfway house during the good years of Wendy Williams. There was a point where she went away for a while, and when she came back, she talked about living in a halfway house. And so you can assume that that was maybe for coke and alcohol, hard to say, but there was the sort of expose on Wendy about why things were going downhill at the Wendy Williams show, and a lot of it had to do with her drinking. You know, the supposedly found bottles of alcohol in the ceiling of her office that she was hiding, and there was a very dramatic moment told by her manager Bernie, who has now become a villain in this story, about how they came into her apartment and found her like catatonic, like so wet brain drunk that she couldn't speak or move and was just like on the floor, and that they thought she was going to die and they had to call an ambulance and all that. And that I think was when she was still on television. So, you know, it's been a long journey for Wendy. And so we found out now that this reality show that they were filming was this documentary, and things are, you know, rough for Wendy right now. First of all, remember, she had her money held up in a conservatorship type situation. She has a guardian appointed to her by the state. Now, how this all happened is a little bit unclear. There was a point in which her money was being held by Wells Fargo because somehow Wells Fargo got the idea that she was under undue influence and they needed to hold the money. And so that led to a battle with Wells Fargo where she was trying to get the money back. And if you remember from back in the day, like a year or two ago, there was a video of Wendy being like, it's not right and it's not fair. It's not right and it's not fair. And she was naming all the different people who were holding her money back.
My thing is that I've been asking questions about my money. And when I began asking questions about my money, suddenly Lori Schiller has got no response regarding my money. I want my money. This is not fair. And Wells Fargo has no questions and answers with regarding my money. This is not fair. And Lori Schiller and Wells Fargo have this guardianship petition about keeping me away from my money.
Now, also at the same time, her manager Bernie, she said, had gotten a psych test on her that he had paid for with her American Express and used the evaluation to work with Wells Fargo to hold the money back.
This is not right. And you know, this is not fair. And this guy named Bernie Young, I know for a fact that Bernie Young used my American Express card to hire an attorney to file a petition against me. That was done with my American Express card. Bernie Young.
So Bernie feels like a villain in this situation, though if you remember Wendy talking about Bern all those years on the Wendy Williams show, he seemed like he was one of the closest people to her. And certainly after her marriage dissolved, Bernie was someone she leaned on for support. But in this version of the story, Bernie is one of the people holding back the money. In my opinion, no matter what, people shouldn't be holding back other people's money. Look, if you're a rich star and you've built up your money for years and years and years, it's your right to squander it. or to fuck it up or go bankrupt or do whatever else. No one should be in charge of you, telling you what you can and cannot do with your money, especially when you're like Wendy Williams and you worked every single day for 12 years. I mean, can you imagine? Wendy Williams got up so early every day, 5 days a week for 12 years. Wendy hardly took any time off. She would do that show every fucking day and shine and be so fucking good. And so, look, if I had spent all that time working and someone then wanted to tell me what to do with my money, I'd be fucking pissed too. And we know that recently her son had to move out of the condo that she bought him in Miami because they couldn't make the payments. And let me tell you, the son, first of all, looks very handsome in this trailer and also has a taste for the finer things. I mean, he's a Nepo baby, so he's been used to getting really whatever he wanted. He's a child of a millionaire's. So I'm sure this has been a little bit of a change. Now, on the opposing viewpoint, the other side, and I'm not exactly sure who the other side is that is holding up Wendy's money and whatever else, did seem to have some points that maybe she was surrounded by people who were taking advantage of her. And if she is really fucked up on booze, maybe they were. I mean, remember, right after the talk show was finally canceled and they moved on with the fucking Sherry Show. We do not watch the Sherry Show in this household. There was a very shady manager type who was also her jeweler who was running her life for a little while, which seemed like a very odd choice for someone who's such a showbiz veteran to have their jeweler running things for them. And then there was the time when she fell asleep in Louis Vuitton. And other times where she just looked very lost and where she looked very lost and confused in public. So it's kind of hard to say what's up, but what we're going to learn with this documentary is hopefully what's really been going on. Now let's take a listen to it and then we'll talk about it.
I'm 6 years old. All I wanted was to be famous.
A lifetime two-night documentary event.
Showtime.
Executive produced by Wendy Williams.
Your boss is rocking, everybody.
Nobody can do it like Wendy. No one.
People love Wendy.
You are a star.
She was in her living room every single day for 12 years.
Yep, I guess that'll do.
And that's what people responded to, her authenticity. And then at the peak of her career, she was gone.
Are we ready?
Yeah, I'm waiting on you.
All right, and away we go.
Love you, Wendy.
All I know is how to be famous. I really want to be back on television.
You're going to be back on TV. That's easy.
My mom has done a great job making it seem like everything is okay always.
Wendy, make sure you look here.
One, two, three.
But in reality, there's something wrong going on.
Did you see a neurologist to find out if I'm crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, no, I can't do this. I have to sit down again.
She was put in front of a judge and given a guardian. That was when they took her away from us.
I have no money. I'm gonna tell you something. If it happens to me, it could happen to you.
As her family, we were all sitting on the sidelines watching, and she was crying out for help.
Did you drink this whole thing today?
Keep it there.
Okay.
Keep it there.
My mom, she always talks about how she wants to work. I feel as though she's worked enough.
She has people around who are yes people and allowing this to continue.
This is all too much.
Go! Clyde! I have no idea where we are. This doesn't look like anything familiar.
I think she's losing memory. Have you guys noticed that?
How dare him? I control me.
Highway 138.
Anybody could look at her and tell this is not just alcohol. There's something more going on.
Looks at the camera with those big bulgy eyes.
I miss my family.
Peter.
Unfiltered.
No matter how many times somebody may fall down, you gotta lift them back up.
We all make choices in life. We all go through our challenges. She's still a person.
How you doing?
That's my sister. There have been random people around you.
Stealing money from me.
Getting money, whatever the case may be.
Enough.
Can you tell me where your sister is?
No, I don't know the exact location of where she is.
I feel like the Guardian has not done a good job of protecting my mom.
My wife. My life.
Right now, she's weak and vulnerable. And she needs to be around people who aren't going to take advantage of that.
I have no friends.
You know how many people come out to support you? You know how many people love you?
No, I don't.
Everything's going to be good.
I know. I think that the guardianship system is broken. We are her family. And you tell me that I'm not capable of taking care of my sister. What would you do? What should I do? I love being famous. But family, everything.
So good to see you again, Dad.
It's good to see you, babe.
Everything.
Where is Wendy Williams? A two-night documentary event premieres Saturday, February 24th at 8. Only on Lifetime.
Baby.
Woo.
So, I mean, we see some things in that documentary we haven't seen before, including an actual reaction to Wendy drinking alcohol. The guy has the, we don't see who she's talking to, but the guy has a big bottle of vodka, I guess, and said, did you drink this whole thing? And then she's in bed being like, leave it, leave it. But we see her family and we hear her family talking about how they don't know where she is. I mean, this is the mystery. Like, do they know where she is now? Did they finish this documentary without her? Is Wendy going to make a public appearance after this? Because there was rumor she was in Switzerland at a rehab somewhere. There's now another blog had done some investigating and had gone to her apartment in New York. And they said she had moved out and she moved with her family in Florida. But we don't know if that's the case. We see her son saying he doesn't want her to work. We see different people in her life. Now, we don't know who all these characters are. We definitely see her niece, who's a newscaster in Philly. We see her sister because she talks about that. We see her dad, and we know her mom, RIP, is in heaven. And then we see some other people. Now, I don't know if one of those people is the jewelry manager guy. Maybe my story's going to turn around on him once I see this, but it's just... I'm dying to see it. I mean, I'm dying to know where is Wendy Williams? What is the tea? Wendy Williams, like NeNe Leakes, if she was in the right brain, doesn't need to be on TV anymore. I mean, though, look, would I love to have Wendy Williams back on TV in her right mind? Yes, I would. My mornings have not been the same since Wendy went off the air. I used to wake up and boop, oh, so excited to feel it, feel it, feel it. And I didn't care about who the guest was. I just wanted to sit down with Wendy and watch her do it. And you know, I did. I was a guest on the Wendy Williams show back in the day on Big Gay Sketch Show, along with two people who have become way more famous than me. But at the time, I was more famous than them. I was on with Colman Domingo, who just got nominated for a fucking Oscar, and Kate McKinnon, who's now a super movie star for SNL. We were guests on the Wendy show and did the Hot Topics with her. And I got to see up close Wendy worked that camera, and it was pretty amazing. Was Wendy warm and fuzzy in real life? No, she was not. But did she pose for a photo? Yes, she did. And that's enough. I'll take it. Much like RuPaul or any of my other favorite stars, honey, you just got to take the sunshine where you can get it. Just appreciate it, enjoy it, love it. So, oh God, I mean... I guess that's it. That's all we know about the Wendy Williams doc, but it is just fascinating. And God, so many shots of Wendy looking rough. It just goes to show you the power of what was going on the Wendy Williams show every day, and the power of a wardrobe and makeup and hair to really pull you together. I mean, being on Hey Queen, don't I know it? But more importantly, we'll find out what's going on. Do I think she'll make a comeback to TV? Feel like she's kind of a risky proposition right now for anybody to invest in. But a podcast, I know she was like, podcast, I'll do podcast. And she had no idea what a podcast was. But if someone just set up Wendy with a recording studio in her home and she did a twice weekly podcast about hot topics, like, that would be fantastic. And I think she could make a pretty penny on that. She without having to share it with anybody else. And she made $16 million a year on the Wendy Williams Show. So I don't know if you're talking about that kind of money, but people can make millions doing podcasts when you have a really huge audience and advertisers and all that. Wendy could, you know, make money. Hopefully they'll give her back her fucking money. I mean, she reportedly had like 60 or 70 million that they're holding on to. You think when you get to a point of 60 or 70 million that you're set and you don't have to do anything anymore. But if somebody holds it hostage, baby. All right. Well, God bless Wendy Williams. Oh, and I don't want to hear any fucking talk of anybody being like, this is karma. She was talking bad about people. This is what you get. Fuck you. Wendy Williams was doing what everybody now does on the internet all day long, every fucking day. She talked about people who were doing things in public. Now, it wasn't always Nicey McNicerson, but she was reacting to what people did and giving her honest opinion. She didn't like pry secrets. This were all stuff that was certainly when she was on TV. She was definitely prying secrets in the radio days, a.k.a. Diddy. How you doing? But remember, the list that people put up on X after the Diddy stuff came out was all the times Wendy Williams has been right over the years, and everybody always gave her shit for it. But I don't want to hear anybody talking any karma bullshit. This is not fair. It's not right, and it's not fair, just as Wendy says. It's not right, and it's not okay. Right, Whitney?
It's not right, but it's okay.
In sex tape news, a listener alerted me to the fact that there is a Jeremy Allen White sex tape. Now, I did not know about that. Now, Jeremy Allen White, you know, from Shameless and currently The Bear. And apparently he had a sex tape that happened during the years he was on Shameless. And a little investigation into just Googling Jeremy Allen White sex tape pulled it right up, sweetie. Now, we don't get tons of him, or at least without going behind the paywall, because there's a lot of sites that's like, Jeremy Allen White sex tape, here it is for 40 seconds. But looking at the stills, you definitely see him. You definitely see his hard dick. And you definitely see him fucking some lady's pussy. And the dick looks pretty good. And of course, we know the body is tight. It starts with him, like, I guess it's, I don't know how this footage got out, how it got leaked. I don't know the story behind it, because it seems like some personal videos of him, like, playing squirt gun battles with some girls in his pool, and they're in bikinis, and they're like, oh, stop. And he's like squirting them with, maybe it looks like it's like a booze gun where they're squirting in their mouth and then he's squirting on their boobs. And they're like, eh. And then we cut to inside the room and Jeremy and his hard dick is going to town. Now, the still shots show that somewhere there's some shots of him in that with his hard dick and his tight body. But I didn't pay behind the paywall to get them. So if you have it, why don't you send it to me so I can see the rest of it? A craft beer maker made a nearly identical ad to Jeremy Allen White's Calvin Klein campaign, starring out gay actor Jared Woodard, a stocky, hairy-chested, bearded, redhead bear. And in the ad for the beer called BRLO, so Brello, he strips down in the same way that Jeremy Allen does and shows all his thick, hairy goodness. Does the pull-up and then lies naked on the couch drinking the beer. And what I want to say is, slow clap to standing ovation. Let's normalize people appreciating big, hairy, thick men. You know what I'm saying? I can definitely get behind that. If you want to see it, it's called Drink Naked Yes Chef by BRLO. And go ahead, Mr. Gerard Woodard, doing the exact same shot for shots as Jeremy Allen White's Calvin Klein ad. Let's see more of that. Have you seen Demi Moore's face? Girl. Baby, the face is back. The beauty is back. This woman has definitely taken the potion from Death Becomes Her. I mean, she has looked so good for so long. I mean, remember the peak of her beauty. We're talking Indecent Exposure with the shorty haircut. Then she cut all the hair off and she did G.I. Jane. Stunning, lean, gorgeous, bone structure. Then she did Striptease where she got $20 million and then she was given all the body. Now, not all those movies were hits, but did she look fantastic in it? Yes, she did. And then she disappeared. She went back to Utah. Oh, and I guess she was married to Ashton Kutcher for a while. God, I forgot about that. And then remember she made her comeback again like 10 years after the fact, probably when she was got to be hitting 50 or something like that. She made that comeback in the sequel to Charlie's Angels, where again, she looked fucking incredible. Time defying, frozen in time. Then about 3 years ago, she did make a very questionable appearance on a high fashion runway in Paris. Was it Balmain? I'm not exactly sure. And at that time, her face did look weird. She had very strange, gaunt, hollow cheeks. And not gaunt like I've gotten too skinny hollow cheeks. Not like scary skinny. But like someone has taken the buckle pads out of my face and maybe done too much surgery. Like there were these very strange, long lines that were not flattering, that looked just weird. Now, maybe it was... You know, when people get the strings, they get the strings up inside and they pull up. Maybe it was that looking strange. Or maybe she did have somebody go like a little too hard with the filler, trying to create a cheekbone, and it created a strange shape in the face. Regardless, it looked weird. It was very strange. And it was a rare misstep from Demi Moore in terms of being perfectly stunning at all times. But she has a new show coming out, which I'm actually really interested to see, which is Truman Capote versus the Swans, another installment of the Feud franchise, which is a story about Truman Capote in, I think, like the 50s, who was best friends with all of New York's most glamorous socialites, CZ Guest and all the rest. I can't think of the rest of their names right now, but all of the Obey Bailey and all of the high society ladies. And supposedly he wrote this story, I think it was called The Swans, where he was a thinly veiled tale telling all their fucking business, and they were pissed, and they, I guess, went to get revenge on him. Not in a physical manner, but icing him out to society. Regardless, the cast is stellar. It's Demi Moore, Calista Flockhart, a whole bunch of other great divas. And Demi Moore has been coming out doing press for this show. And whoever her surgeon is truly an artist. When I tell you she looks, look, many people get filler, Botox, all the rest of that, to look younger. And what happens is they just look weird. They just look like an alien, or they look plumped, or they look overdone, or they look just not realistic. It looks like something's happened to their face, and it's very strange. This does not look like that at all. It's perfection. She looks fresh as a daisy. She looks, well, I would say she doesn't look her age. I mean, she's, I think, 61. And she looks 39, if a day. I mean, the roundness, the perfection. It doesn't look done at all. It looks like she took a nap and woke up refreshed. her hair is long and bone straight. And again, to whether she has extensions or not, I do not know, but it looks like it's growing right out of her head. Her body, perfect. The face, the teeth, the eyes. I mean, this is done, but it's the best work I've ever seen. I mean, whoever her surgeon is, please, ladies and gentlemen, stand at attention and applaud this surgeon whose work is perfection. And to give it up for Demi Moore, because, honey, to look this perfect at that age, I don't think I've ever seen anyone at 60 look this perfect. I mean, J-Lo is looking at her being like, how did you do that, bitch? It is really absolutely stunning. And just get in and get in good. When speaking of J-Lo, she was on Saturday Night Live as the musical guest. And that brought up somebody on Twitter or X bringing up a very shady old clip. A shady, shady, shady old clip that I delighted in. And even though I love J-Lo, I love a shady clip about J-Lo as well. Now, in this clip, they showed that when she was the musical guest previously, when the show went out live, initially, they showed J-Lo's actual performance live on the mic. Because you remember, I did talk about thinking that J-Lo seemed like she was live on the mic when I saw the video of her at the iHeartRadio live, and she performed some of her new songs. And I thought, like, though she doesn't sound like a, you know, she's no Aretha Franklin, she definitely seemed like she was singing. Well, now this makes me think maybe she is singing, but into an auto-tune microphone, which they have those now. And ask Enrique Iglesias. But this person put the clip. So apparently when she performed on Saturday Night Live the last time, they let the live performance go out unedited initially and then quickly took it down, auto-tuned it, and put it back up. And we got these two side-by-side clips, which are delightfully shady. Okay, and then they show it, the same clip, but with the auto-tune. Never stop loving you. This is with the auto-tune. Jennifer Lopez has definitely been taking vocal lessons, but she can't always teach somebody to be on pitch. No, you cannot. Speaking of being on pitch, let's talk about the Grammys. The Grammys performances were quite enjoyable. Now, for me, top of the line, most important, was the lesbian victory ascending of our queen. I'm not talking about Taylor Swift, you lesbians who are hunting and hoping that Taylor's a lesbo. I'm talking about a true lesbian queen, Tracy Chapman. Oh my God. Tracy Chapman was on the show. Baby, I watched the Tracy Chapman performance of Fast Car, which she performed with whoever the fuck that country singer is that she does it with, who's had a huge hit with Fast Car this year. She performed with him, and baby, when the lights came up on Tracy, with her long braids, her face still beautiful, just a little touch of gray in the side of her hair, her body together, her voice sounding as clear as it ever has sounded. I cried. I was tearing up and having one single tear fall down my face the whole time. Tracy Chapman is a fucking legend. She is such a great artist. She has remained pure, okay? remained pure. She hasn't let anybody sample her music. She doesn't let anybody do anything with her fucking catalog. Never forget when Nicki Minaj tried to sample her for a song, and Tracy Chapman blocked that shit real good. Nicki Minaj thought that she was going to use Tracy Chapman sample, much like she did Annie Lennox No More I Love Yous, or any of those other ones where Nicki has her girly song moment, her sensitive lady song moment. She actually, a radio station actually played it ahead of its release.
I still love you.
Just always flipping, you niggas never listen. We make a perfect team, ballin' Jordan, Scottie Pippen. But I'ma let you dip in that wax sauce dripping, so that when you with a boss, bitch, now you could tell a difference. You be like Jungle Digger, I don't want another nigga. I wanna make you better legend, but I make you bicker. Think about Peter Pan. No bitches.
And honey, Tracy got a word about that, and she shut that shit down. And I think she actually even maybe even sued Nicki Minaj. So Tracy Chapman is not one to be fucked with. And Tracy Chapman has the lesbian cred of life, honey. I mean, she dated Alice Walker. Can you think of a more glamorous and internally peaceful black power couple as Tracy Chapman and Alice Walker? Wow. I mean, I just, like, it all came rushing back to me how much I love Tracy Chapman and her music and how into that first album of hers that I was. I mean, I've liked all the albums, but that first album, with especially Fast Car, just so moving, so beautiful. And to see her sing it live so perfectly in duet form with old what's his name, the white country singer, a round of applause. And did she do any press on the red carpet? No. Did she do any interviews? No. But did she probably make a fucking butt ton of money this year because that cover of Fast Car was so big? Yes. And that is what I want for my lesbian stars, honey. I want them to be rich and sit back on their laurels and be celebrated. And that is what they did with Tracy Chapman. I've got to say, that country guy was very respectful and obviously having a moment to be up there with Tracy. And I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, if you check it out. Now, I found out, I searched high and low for all the Grammy fucking performances. And are they on YouTube? No, they're not. Are they anywhere? No, they're not. I thought, oh God, are they on fucking Paramount Plus or somewhere annoying like that? No, they're somewhere slightly less annoying because you don't have to pay for it. They're on the Grammy website. So that's where you can see all the performances. I mean, that was the highlight for me, was Tracy Chapman. But there were other highlights. Miley Cyrus won for Record of the Year with Flowers and gave a very spirited performance where, once again, she was throwing shots to old, what's his name, her old boyfriend, Hemsworth, not Liam Hemsworth, Chris Hemsworth. Yes, Chris Hemsworth. And baby, she was just showing them all. She was posing. She was shimmying. And then, of course, the clip that's going around on the internet is her being like, I just won my first Grammy. You can buy my new thing. And she does a real sassy hair flip. It's a delight. Now, when she won the award for Record of the Year, she was presented by Mariah Carey. Now, side note, Mariah Carey, like everybody else in LA, and so many of the people that were at the Grammys, was stuck in a major traffic jam to get there because of the rain. If you don't know LA, if it rains, it's as if it's the apocalypse. People lose their fucking mind. Nobody knows how to drive. Traffic goes insane. Everything goes insane. So imagine all your favorite stars all trying to converge upon downtown LA to go to the Grammys. Mariah Carey was supposedly stuck in a limo, and they didn't know if she was going to be able to get there to present this award. So what they did was they got a golf cart. They drove it up the down ramp onto the freeway, following a pin that they had, Mariah Carey's car had sent them. And they picked her up off the side of the road in the golf cart, had four people with umbrellas on either side of her so she wouldn't be wet, and then once again drove the wrong way down the freeway to get Mariah there with four people on either side of her to block her from the pouring rain to get her there in time to present this award to Miley Cyrus. Now, which was a wonderful thing because Miley took the time to really give Mariah her props, be like, I need you to stand right here with me. MC, it's MC with MC. You're such a legend. I mean, she gave her the props that she deserved, and it was a delight to see.
And the Grammy goes to Flowers, Mari Cyrus. This MC is going to stand by this MC for this because this is just too iconic. Oh my God, I just got stuck in the rain and traffic and thought I was going to miss this moment. And I could have missed the award, that's fine, but not Mariah Carey. I just saw you at the Hollywood Bowl, it was everything. I got sat in my lucky number three seat, and so there's a story I want to tell that sums up this moment, and I wasn't going to tell it, but now Mariah's here. So there was a little boy that all he wanted for his birthday was a butterfly. And so his parents gave him a butterfly net. And he was so excited, he just went outside out in the sun and started swinging and swinging. But with no luck, he sat down on the ground. He finally let go and he surrendered. And he was okay that he wasn't going to capture this beautiful butterfly. And right when he did is when the butterfly came and landed right on the tip of his nose. And this song, Flowers, is my butterfly. Thank you.
On the other hand, everybody's given Taylor Swift major shit because she was presented with her award, which was, I believe, Best Pop Vocal Album for Midnights. Celine Dion presented the award to her. Okay, Celine was a surprise. We believe that Celine was locked up with this horrible disease where she can't even move. So the fact that she was there is a miracle to the heavens. We're all thrilled to see Celine and hope the absolute best for her. And to have her give Taylor the award from my heart and have Taylor completely ignore her was brutal. For Taylor, that is. I mean, Celine was so gracious, handed over. Taylor didn't even, I watched the video, Taylor did not even smile at her, acknowledge her. She just took the award and started her fucking speech. And of course, the internet went crazy. A rare misstep for Miss Swift. Now, of course, immediately after, Taylor realized, oh my God, I didn't fucking say anything to Celine Dion. And they had a lovely moment backstage with a hug. And Taylor posted the photo. But, you know, it's too late. It already happened. You missed out. Miley beat you to being gracious. You won a zillion awards and you couldn't even say anything about Celine, who came out of her sick bed to give this award. I mean, Miss Swift, please. Taylor also announced her new album coming out in April, The Tortured Poets Department, Volume 1 or whatever. Look, I have nothing bad to say about Taylor Swift other than this thing about her ignoring Celine, but I really also do not care. I feel completely neutral. Would I clap along and be like, if I heard Taylor Swift sing a song or hear a song? Yeah, they're okay. But do I understand the crazy rigmarole? Not really. But I mean, good for you. Good for you, girl. SZA was a big winner. She won Best R&B Song. And she also did a very strange performance with on the Grammys with sponsored by MasterCard, which wasn't a live performance. It was something where she was like walking through the fake woods and swinging on a swing. I mean, she was looking stunning. I mean, SZA's face, the facial beauty of SZA is chef's kiss. I mean, and also her proportions in her body. She's very curvy. She's really good. Dua Lipa performed, you know, okay. I would have preferred her to do the shake, shaky, shake one leg dance. That's my favorite performance of hers. Oh, it was Album of the Year that Taylor won, that Celine performed. Album of the Year. Who else was nominated? Miley, Lana Del Rey, Janelle Monáe, Olivia Rodrigo, SZA, John Baptiste. They love John Baptiste at the Grammys. Well, I guess I don't really care about any of those albums. So, I mean, if I had to give an award, it would be to Janelle Monáe. Why? Because I like to keep it in the gay family, and I like Janelle Monáe's style. But I did not really get into the Age of Pleasure, but maybe I will. Kylie won for Padam Padam, but it was an award that was not televised. And this is the fucking thing that I thought, like, are you fucking kidding me? In the category for best music videos, the winner was The Beatles. The Beatles? Are you fucking kidding me? The Beatles. They're dead. The group hasn't been together for 50 years. They did not make the video. AI made the video. Robos made the video. Like, best video of The Beatles? You gotta be fucking kidding me. You know who else was in that category? Troye Sivan. That was the best video of the year. Come on. Other people in the category were Billie Eilish. What I was made for. Which, that was a pretty good video. Kendrick Lamar, Count Me Out. I did not see that. Tyler Childers, In Your Love. I did not see that. But I didn't need to see those because the best video of the year was Troye Sivan, Rush. And it was beat by the Beatles, the dead Beatles, who didn't even, they're not even, I mean, I know Paul is still alive, okay? And I think Ringo Starr is still alive, maybe. But what? They don't need a fucking Grammy for best video. That's fucking bullshit, man. That's fucking bullshit, man. Fantasia brought it to the floor. I mean, Fantasia did the Tina Turner tribute, and baby, Fantasia is having a moment. She was introduced by Oprah, and we know Oprah loved fucking Tina Turner. I mean, never forget the Wildest Dreams summer when Oprah decided to wear a Tina Turner wig for the whole summer. Non-ironically, she had a wig made just like Tina Turner, and she wore it for the whole summer. Ah, God, the Oprah show had so many great moments, including when Oprah lost her mind and wore a Tina Turner wig the whole summer. Also, when she decided to sing her own theme song, "Well, I Think I Will Run On," which recently a clip recently came out where they show Whitney Houston kind of making fun of Oprah on camera for "I Think I Will Run On."
Because I
think I'm going to run on.
No.
Anyway, that is all to say that Fantasia came out and slayed. I'd say the performance of the night of Proud, did a performance of Proud Mary, a.k.a. Rolling on the River, in a slinky Tina Turner like fringe gown that showed her legs. And of course, there's one thing Fantasia is going to do, baby. She's going to sing. And she really sang the shit out of it. But then she really surprised me, because when she got down those steps and the fast part of the song happened, she also danced her ass off and did the spins and the flips and the things. Not the flips, but you know what I mean. She did all the Tina Turner moves, and she sang the shit out of it. Now, she went into the audience also being like, I need to find a woman who wants to move her hips. Is it you? And she passed that lady right by. Then I think she found Dua Lipa. They did a little hip thing. And then weirdly, she walked right past Beyonce, I think because she didn't see her, when that would have been the obvious moment to have somebody shake their hips. Speaking of Beyonce, baby, the queen was in session, honey. The queen was there. And she was wearing direct off the runway the new Pharrell Western Louis Vuitton collection in a sparkle Damier print blazer and tiny, tiny shorts with white, white hair. She's giving that old Game of Thrones queen lady, you know who I'm talking about, with the Louis Vuitton cow hat and I believe the cow boots. And wow, I mean, she looked stunning. Now, later that night, Jay-Z won, I think, a Music Cares Award, a Trailblazer Music Cares Award, and he brought Blue Ivy up on stage. It's really hard for me to believe that Blue Ivy is just 12 because she looks like a grown woman almost. I mean, she looks like she's at least 16 or 17. So she's got some strong genes. But Jay-Z in his speech did give a little bit of shade to the Academy for the fact that Beyonce has never won Album of the Year, which is a fucking travesty. I mean, if we remember back to last year, who beat Beyonce for Album of the Year for Renaissance, one of the greatest albums ever made? Harry Styles for Harry's House. What a fucking snooze bucket. Nobody's going to give a shit about those Harry Styles songs in years, but the Beyonce Renaissance album will still be important. And what the hell? I mean, the fact that she won so few Grammys for it just goes to show, like, get it together, Grammys. I know they're trying, but get it together a little faster, because that should have been Beyonce's fucking year. That album was so good. And look at its staying power.
Just five. Phone number 45, don't get out of line. Yeah. Ooh, 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 pick a side. Only double lines we cross is dollar signs. Yeah. Ooh, 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 hold up. Wait, I hear you just got paid, making rain, energy.
And last but not least, it's very interesting to see the OnlyFans market of straight guys gay baiting for our attention and our money, copying each other. Now, I've talked on the show before about Wyatt Cushman, who he got me, gal. He always seems to get me with his, like, hey guys, do you like my underwear? Hey guys, look at this view. And the guy in the camera is like, yeah, the view is amazing. Or like, hey bro, you got to get up, and pulls like the covers down, or whatever the gay baitation is. You've seen it. Now, the interesting thing is there's a new OnlyFans who calls himself Troy Tempts, who is literally copying those videos word for word. And you know what? He got me too, gal. I mean, he's lean, tattooed, and blonde. And I was like, this is very interesting. And look, if it works, it works. Because the Wyatt Cushman videos got me to spend the money on his and even buy his terrible fake penetration videos in the DMs. And so I joined the Troy Tempts OnlyFans, of course, to find out that all of the good stuff. Now, you can see his dick, which seems like it's a pretty nice dick, but all of the good stuff, in quotes, is in the DMs. And now this is the other interesting thing, is that they'll send these things out in the DMs and then they'll delete them. Because mostly what he's selling in the DMs is like jerk off videos and maybe a boy girl type situation. But occasionally will come through like my hottest M on M sex video. I get fucked and I love to feel the big dicks inside me. Oh, it's so incredible. Now, you know for sure this is someone like a mandatory meeting who's on Drag Race and who told us the tale that she worked for straight lady porn stars answering all of their OnlyFans correspondence, as well as writing the captions, because we know that's not these guys writing them. But this guy was trying to sell his man-on-man sex tape for $80. And, like, that's just too much. Sweetie, call me when you're selling it for 25 so I can see your fake sex tape. Because it's not real. I don't believe it. After Wyatt Cushman and his fake penetration videos, I'm not believing anybody else unless I see the dick going in the hole. Though he's very nice to look at. But don't waste your money on that OnlyFans because it's merely just photos. And the good stuff is in the DMs. And the other in the DMs, we know it's fake. So what can we do? I mean, it's a game. And I do enjoy actually playing it. Maybe I will. Maybe when his price comes down, I'll invest and do it for the show. It's tax deductible. And I'll let you know whether it's good or not. Also on OnlyFans, though I never joined their pages, the two TikTok twinks who are like, are you gay? They both have OnlyFans pages. And one of them, Art, the little Ukrainian twink, has been getting more and more intense every time. I think it started off with that as just shots of his butt and maybe a JO video. But from the stuff he's selling in the DMs, sweetie, things have heated up quite a bit.
I feel so horny today. And I really want to do something. But I'm not alone anymore. So I am very, very excited. If I can chat a little bit more.
Which was followed by a message, an imaginary message that said, are you around for a few? Now, he's also been saying, getting fingered by this DF guy who came to fuck me after. It's so damn hot when a stranger rubs his dick on my ass and fingers me. Getting my little tight hole manhandled, stretched out and stimulated. I'm ready to burst the biggest load ever, winky drool face. I mean, my guess is because this guy has at least 1 million followers on TikTok that he's probably making quite a bit of money in the DMs and saw how much money and was like, baby, why not? You're only young once. Let's make this fucking money. Hey, I had a dream about being in your bed last night, but for some reason the bed was on top of a mountain. I don't understand my crazy dreams sometimes, but it was hot and we were outside in the cold, melting the ice with our body heat. Oh, and there, look, he's selling a full sex video. I got on top of him and made him slap my bare ass while grinding back and forth on him. It felt so good to bounce up and down on his bare body. I'm getting hard just watching this back. And that's for a video he's selling for $50. Sweetie, this motherfucker is making good money. And you know what I can say? Good on you, darling. Make that money, honey.
Get your money up. Get your money up.
Stop playing with yourself.
Get your money up. Get your money up, get your money up.
Stop,
get them keys.
Now let me see your booty drop.
You're tearing the bar down with all the fly women. It's still a little.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed the show today. If you like the show, why don't you leave me a nice review on iTunes so that when I'm alone with a feeling of dread, I can go over to the reviews and say, it was all worth it. People are enjoying the show. Or maybe recommend it to a friend. Or maybe play it loud on a loudspeaker and say, this show is good. And if you really like me, you know where you can find me up to 3 times a week going deep on things like big celebrity dicks, movie watch-alongs, and so much more. And that is at patreon.com/gayestofalltime on podcasts and up to 3 times a week with all my homo homies from Gayest of All Time and Gay Pimpin'. And I want you to be there too. We'll have fun. And of course, watch me on Hey Queen every Monday, 3:30 p.m., streaming exclusively on WoW Presents Plus. A Mandatory Meeting was my guest this week, and baby, we had so much fun. She spilled the tea, and I can't wait for you guys to all see this whole season because it is turning out so good. So I hope I'll see you there, and I'll see you next time on another episode of Gay As Fuck. Bye, baby.
Standing in line, wishing they had this. Take me to Paris, buy a lot of carrots. Christian Louboutin boots, bags, and more carrots. You want carrots? Well, it's the wrong section. My girls need them checks, so we headed in that direction.
Get your money up, get your money up.
Stop playing with yourself.
Get your money up, get your money up.
Get your money up.
Stop.
get your money, yeah. Get your money, yeah. Get your money, yeah. We don't like them broke boys, we don't like them broke boys.
Johnny, the governor's gay, yeah.